Good morning. 8 minutes past the hour as we wake up together on a Wednesday. I'm Bill Meyer. I am joined by writer, speaker, and cultural analyst Carmen LeBird. She's the host of the Reconnect with Carmen radio program. Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Bill. I'm great.
Did you watch the big announcement last night?
I did watch the big announcement. My very first initial catty female comment is, the president already needs a slight haircut at the back of his collar.
Okay. And any comments?
I feel like somebody ought to get on that. But there
yeah.
you go. Otherwise, I thought first of all, in terms of the president's first opportunity to step out and do something that is that only a president can ever do, I thought he did a fine job. And obviously, I think that his choice in Judge Gorsuch is ideal. Couldn't be better.
What did you think of Judge Gorsuch's haircut?
I thought it was quite fine. Thank you.
He's a good-looking man. He really is. I got to tell you about a really neat picture I saw. Judge Scalia visited Judge Gorsuch in Colorado a few years ago. They were reportedly friends, and you may have seen this photograph. It's the two of them. Looks like they've been hiking or fishing, and they're standing by this beautiful Colorado lake with the aspen trees in full glory in the background. And the photo is signed by Judge Scalia to Judge Gorsuch with just, you know, some really nice sentiments and how much I enjoyed our trip to Colorado. And you may have heard this, that when Judge Gorsuch heard that Justice Scalia had passed away, he cried. So obviously the two of them had a very good relationship, and you just see these two smiling, brilliant men, and you can just tell the affection they had for each other. And I don't know, it just warmed my heart to see that.
Well, and I think that this choice is the most Scalia-like choice that Trump could have made. And so even for those folks who might oppose Judge Gorsuch for any number of political reasons, if they're really going to be honest about refilling a seat that is in keeping with the person who sat in it before, which I realize is not necessarily a high priority to Democrats at this point, but this is the most Scalia-like guy out there in the federal court system today.
Now, the Democrats in the Senate obviously going to throw everything they can at him during the confirmation hearings. Given what you've heard about him so far, any sense how he's likely to do in that, during that grilling?
Well, I think he's going to handle himself quite well. I think he is anticipating the same kind of repartee that happens among attorneys in courtrooms. So I think that we can expect to see that played out. I do think it's going to be difficult for Senate Democrats to oppose him in any way that is seen by anyone as legitimate, in part because he was unanimously confirmed not that long ago by the U.S. Senate for his current federal judgeship. So I do think that, you know, we're going to see barbs thrown. I think Nancy Pelosi can't help herself. Her hyperbole is already out there in full view, but it's also, you know, it's total hypocrisy for the Democrats to now threaten to do what they have been, alleging that the Republicans should have never done. So this would be if you thought it was wrong then, and yet you don't think it's wrong now, then we're sort of in the two wrongs make a right kind of argument. And for Christians, you know, I'm always sort of looking at what's the Christian worldview on this, and how should Christians be perceiving what's happening? I think that for Christians, the number one thing to stay focused on here is the president has kept a commitment that he made during the campaign, that a lot of Christians across the country voted for Donald Trump precisely because they were hopeful that he would keep his commitments made related to the filling of not only this seat on the Supreme Court, but anticipated other vacancies that will arise in the next 4 years, or, you know, I should say 3 years, because if it's any more than 3 years, the likelihood of getting a candidate through is pretty limited.
Mm. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Judge Gorsuch one of the key individuals that voted on the Hobby Lobby case. So obviously on religious liberty issues, he's going to be somebody that will take the position that we would agree with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that, I think that folks think more about what is a judge's position on Roe v. Wade, what is a judge's position on abortion, and to my knowledge, Gorsuch has not written a ruling specifically dealing with Roe v. Wade, but he certainly is known to have very strong opinions on religious liberty. And so, yes, for example, the religious employers or religious individuals who own companies seeking to limit their, conscience, the way the conscience is in conflict over things like the Obamacare Affordable Care Act requirements related to the providing of
abortive patients.
You and
drugs,
I would call them abortive patients, but others would describe that differently. Yes, he absolutely, is in my view on the right side of that in the Hobby Lobby case in particular.
It's going to be hard for them on the life issue. Obviously, they'll push him in those confirmation hearings. But as you mentioned, he's not ruled, as far as I know, on any significant cases involving life and has not made any public statements to that effect where at least one of the other possible nominees in that short list had. So and it's fascinating that you mentioned that he was confirmed unanimously just not that long ago. It's a, as you said, it's a bit it's hypocrisy, really, to then come back and say, well, now it's for the Supreme Court. So we don't like the guy, even though we thought he was just fine for this the Circuit Court of Appeals position.
Yeah, he was fine for those 13 million people who live in that part of the country that that the coastal people don't really care much about.
The flyover people. Our guest is Carmen LaBerge. She is the host of the Reconnect with Carmen radio program. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on Faith Radio. Welcome back. 18 past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with Carmen LaBerge. She is a talk show host and cultural analyst and all around brilliant lady. Can I say that about you? Is that all right, Carmen? Say you're a brilliant lady?
Hey, thanks. It's okay. The 1st of February. We're allowed to say anything today.
That's right. Okay, so President Trump has been receiving a tremendous amount of criticism for his executive order banning immigrants from certain countries and putting a freeze on the U.S. refugee program. So here's a question for you. Do you believe the action is an appropriate way to keep potential terrorists out of our country, or do you see this as more overreach by the Trump administration?
So I am certainly a person who acknowledges and recognizes that the president has broad authority in terms of immigration, and it's absolutely the responsibility of the government to be concerned about the protection of its own people and the control of its own borders and boundaries. So from that viewpoint, frankly, the president can do whatever he wants to do in relationship to who can come and how long they can stay and what they can do while they're here. I mean, that people do not have the right to come to America. They don't have the right to travel in America. They don't actually possess the right to be educated in America. Those are privileges that may be viewed as constitutional for U.S. citizens, but that applies to U.S. citizens, not to not to just folks from anywhere. Citizenship matters, and I think this is from a Christian worldview, this is where Christians need to press into the conversation. We actually have a unique way of articulating what it means to be a citizen of a kingdom that's different than the one we happen to be living in right now. So the whole concept of being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, that there's regulated entry into that kingdom. The sovereign God actually determines who get to be the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And as evangelical Christians, we don't believe that everybody gets in. We actually believe that, Jesus is not only the way, but the gate and the door, and nobody is passing through, nobody's going to immigrate into the kingdom of heaven without passing through him. And so there's an opportunity here for a conversation that shifts from who should or shouldn't get into the United States at any given point, at any given point of entry, to a conversation that really does ultimately matter. Now, if you only have a natural worldview and you think this is all there is, then I understand the very, very deep desire to get the very best life you can now and have the very best life you can now because you think now is all there is. Christians do not have that worldview. That is not our cosmology. We actually, you know, we know that every single person that we encounter every day is an eternal being. They are going to spend their eternal life in one kingdom or another. I am far more interested in talking about the status of my neighbors in relationship to their kingdom citizenship than what kingdom of this world they happen to be a citizen of. Do I have a responsibility as a Christian to be concerned for the least and people who have no voice and people who are living in oppression and struggling just to survive? Absolutely. Absolutely. But as an American, my responsibility is a little bit different in relationship to those conversations than as a Christian. And so I think that Christians have a really unique opportunity right now to press into and lean into a conversation that ought to be expanded not just in terms of global borders and boundaries and who's where and what's happening, but really eternal cosmic boundaries in terms of the kingdom of heaven.
I love the fact that you always bring it back to the Christian worldview, Carmen. Getting back.
Hey, man, that's all I do. That's all I got. That's my shtick.
That's your shtick, baby. And you do it
so. That's it.
You do it so well. Now, I know a lot of evangelical Christians are very concerned that refugees who are trying to escape from, you know, groups like ISIS or Syrian brutality are going to be prevented at least temporarily from seeking asylum here in the U.S. And they're arguing that, you know, those refugees already go through a rigorous vetting process. So from a natural perspective, what is our responsibility to those individuals? Do we, you know, we are called to welcome the stranger, to, you know, welcome the foreigner. At the same time, you said we got to balance that with our national security. Where are we with that? I mean, that I'm hearing voices on both sides in the evangelical community right now.
Oh, and I think that's going to continue. I think that certainly the church, as a global reality, institution would be the wrong word here. As a living, vibrant reality that is global, and in which people of every nation and status of life are members by virtue of their relationship restored to the Father through the Son. And so, yes, when I am looking at Christians around the world who are living in situations of dire persecution, I am looking at my brothers and sisters with whom I am going to spend eternity. And I actually have a special responsibility not to just pray for them, but to provide for them to remain where they are if that's what they want to do, empower them to remain as light in places that are much more dark than the place I live. So what am I doing to provide a way for the church in Iraq or the church in Afghanistan or the church in North Korea? Because it does exist. What am I doing to actually provide for my brothers and sisters in those places to be the church in a place that, frankly, I am very glad God has not called me to live? And so there's that conversation that I think is often overlooked when we imagine as Americans that the answer to the question is bring everybody here because frankly, this is the greatest country in the world. So all of the people who don't want to admit to American exceptionalism, when it comes to these conversations, they think everybody should live here because where we live is so much better than everywhere else. That is American exceptionalism.
That's right.
And so, I mean, I think that being able to get into the conversation in a way that is both honest to the gospel and honest to the realities of the world in which we live is the way Christians have to engage these conversations. And we are not all going to agree when it comes to immigration or refugee policy. We're just not. And it's because people have varying degrees of commitment to a kingdom mentality versus the kingdoms of this world mentality. And evangelical Christians fall all along that spectrum in terms of which particular priority rises up at a given time.
Mm. Just got about a minute and a half left. Let me ask you this, Carmen. You sent me an email yesterday and made an interesting observation about all of Mr. Trump's executive orders. You said the hardest part is selecting what to cover. In other words, which of his actions are, you know, actually news and which ones aren't. And I'm going to quote you here. You said, "What are we missing while we're looking over there at that?" Are you suggesting that Mr. Trump is deliberately signing a barrage of orders so the media can't keep track of all of them, or simply that it's just, you know, humanly impossible to process all this stuff?
It is one of those two, isn't it? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question in terms of which thing is happening. I will say he is working at a dizzying pace. And because Democrats are blocking the confirmation of so many of his nominees, he is going to continue making decisions and doing things really in a vacuum of counsel. And so the only people who are going to be counseling him are the people who have a legitimate right to be in the room. So the Democrats need to move on these confirmations. The cabinet needs to be filled out. He's nominated really exceptional people for all of those positions. An overwhelming majority of them are very strong Christians. And so I would say let's get him all the counsel that we can by filling out the cabinet, and let's be praying for him, even as, yes, we're trying to pay attention to everything that's happening.
Mm. Well said. Carmen LeBurge, our guest here on The Morning Show. Thank you so much for your time, Carmen. You can check out her website at the Reconnect with Carmen radio program. And have a great day, Carmen. Thank you once again for spending some time with us early in the morning.
Thanks, Dr. Bill. Bye-bye.